D&E.
Three dogs on the inside lane at 1 o'clock in the morning out on 290 having a conversation. I just happened to be driving on the outside lane.
Three dogs?
Three dogs. Just stopped sitting in the middle of 290 having a conversation with each other.
Like they were talking?
Yeah, like they were having a party, like sitting in the row in 290.
They're smelling each other's butts or anything?
They weren't smelling. They were sitting.
Like on 290.
If I would have been in the inside lane, I'd have gone through right through three dogs having a conversation. I don't know, three dogs playing poker. I don't know what they were doing.
I'm like, that's what I'm saying, is it the dogs at the card table now.
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out? Well, Longhorns were some dogs on Saturday night, defensively especially, holding USC to -5 rushing yards. Had some big hits and big plays, offense, defense, special teams. Longhorns to get maybe the most complete victory in the Tom Herman era. Certainly the first win over a ranked team, as USC probably didn't deserve a 22nd ranking, but they were. So it goes down in the books as one. But it's a win. And now you get ready for a very good team in TCU. Tom Herman news conference at noon today. Also, Cowboys were dogs last night in primetime. No sacks on Dak Prescott. They sacked Eli Manning 6 times and harassed him all night. Made some plays and win a game that was... I mean, it's 20-13, but 20-3 when it mattered, as the Cowboys get a win. And Buck, when you look around that division, you know, Philadelphia took a loss yesterday and they don't have any receivers. Alshon Jeffrey's still not back. They need Carson Wentz back in a bad way. And we talk about the year to year type scenarios in football. You know, the Giants are a bit of a mess at 0-2. The Redskins lost to the Colts yesterday. That Cowboys team right there, if they continue to improve on offense, they can be right there with anybody in that division. There's not a great
team
division, right now.
Yeah, but I don't know how good they'll be outside of their division. It's not looking real good right now. I thought the Giants would be a little bit better.
Yeah, the division looks extremely winnable for the Cowboys.
Yes,
and again, it's a snap judgment after 2 weeks. Last Monday, the Cowboys were a sideshow because of the performance against Carolina. But that's the defense has been consistent for 2 weeks for the Cowboys now. I mean, the defense was good against Carolina, good enough to win if the offense hadn't sleptwalked for 2.5 quarters. The Eagles will be better when they get everybody back, and obviously Carson Wentz would be huge.
I'd like to know what the Bucs are going to do after they beat Pittsburgh this week, and Jameis Winston's supposed to come back in game four.
Jameis Winston's going to watch.
You think so?
Yes.
I would think so, wouldn't you?
Yes.
You can't let a guy who's won, if he wins 3 in a row.
No. And he's been the reason. You know, they rushed for 90 yards yesterday. They beat Philadelphia because they could throw the aggressive passing game down the field. DeSean Jackson's been great for 2 weeks. And you know, really one of the big keys to their emergence in wins over New Orleans and Philadelphia yesterday for Tampa Bay is O.J. Howard, the big tight end that they drafted out of Alabama.
Who's his cat number 11 for them?
That's DeSean Jackson.
That's DeSean?
Yeah. I mean, Mike Evans, I mean, they're pushing the ball down the field, and Ryan Fitzmagic is making magic.
He's funny, that dude.
No, I think you have to keep riding with him. I mean, the Vikings and Packers played to a tie yesterday, which we've talked about as controversial.
Two ties already.
Two ties. But
is this soccer?
But the Vikings, Kirk Cousins for real for them. That's a win. I mean, I think at the end of the day, the Vikings are bumming because their kicker missed 3 kicks, and they could have, should have, would have. But you know what? Before the game, you said you come out with a half point, essentially, a tie at Lambeau Field. I think you take that. Because the Vikings are for real in that division. And, the L.A. Rams are probably the best team in the NFC right now. But, no, Cowboys, I mean, I thought they were – this is not something you always say about the Cowboys, but they were a well-coached team last night. I mean, they were buttoned up on both sides of the ball.
Offensively, they sure look a lot better than they've looked before. There were some innovative plays called.
Yes.
There's some spread them out, get the ball down the field a little bit, and, you know – That's the good part. Their defense, like BK says, the secondary coach that came from Seattle is butting them up in the back. You know, last year they were having trouble one-on-ones when they get into man-to-man situations, but they're using the sideline as their friend. They're doing a good job in that secondary.
Well, I
plus
really
the linebackers
liked,
are good.
And as a texter mentioned earlier, that's what we've heard from Brian Broaddus, who we'll talk to tomorrow, is just the overall speed on defense. I mean, they're the third youngest team in the NFL now, and that speed comes to the front on D. I mean, those linebackers can really go, and Jalen Smith had the big hit of Eli Manning last night, and he's flying all over the field. They look good. We talk about the secondary improvement. BK mentioned the new secondary coach that's had paid an impact, and the pass rush was good. Really liked the Cowboys last night. And I felt like if Dak Prescott, he missed some shots. There were balls there for him and throws for him to make in that game that boy, that could have been a really wide margin. They really dominated that game. It ended up a 7-point game, but it felt like a 3-touchdown win for the Cowboys last night.
Well, the defense just kept so much pressure on Eli Manning. And like I said, I'm surprised he'd be up and moving around this morning because he took some hard hits.
Dude, when he got hit by Jalen Smith and didn't slide, I'm like, what are you doing?
I know.
I didn't know if he was going to get up. I was like, dude, I mean, Jalen Smith just shoulder blocked him and he went down. He got back right back up, though.
Oh, he did. He's tough.
But so they're 0-2. Texans, John McClain, by the way, Houston Chronicle, in his column this morning on the Texans game, called it one of the most embarrassing losses in Texans history. And it really was. If you watch the game,
if you have two starting tackles in the NFL out.
And your starting quarterback.
And your starting quarterback. And you've got the defensive ends that, and they don't pressure enough, and they actually win the game. That group isn't supposed to win without two tackles. They're just not.
Well, but having watched the entire game, the problem was Blaine Gabbert wasn't holding the ball for more than a second or two. The ball was coming out. And the defense, they gave up. The first touchdown was a fake punt that went for a score. They gave up one other touchdown on a short field because the offense was a mess, and then they gave up some points late. But the Texans outgained them by 200 yards. This was a game you cannot lose that game. The game is that, I mean, you got Blaine Gabbert in the game with no tackles, and the problem is the Texans were their own worst enemy. I mean, talk about when I say the Cowboys look like a well-coached team, the Texans look the opposite. The Texans look like a disheveled mess.
Yeah, I was listening to that game on the radio, and that whole kickoff return deal into the sideline, I didn't know who that was, but as a former coach, I was pissed. I was like, seriously, somebody on the sideline who's not playing actually gets involved enough to get a 15-yard penalty?
Oh, that was Jadeveon Clowney. Jadeveon Clowney, who
was he in workout gear
yes,
or something?
Yes, he was wearing street clothes.
A hoodie with no sleeves.
And he decided to throw himself into one of the players for the Titans bumped him on his way off the field, coming out of bounds. No, that was Clowney. That was Clowney getting a 15-yard penalty. So it was Leslie, one of your best players and your leader, who not on the field. No, Texans, again, it's just they ran the ball well again. Lamar Miller had a good game. Alfred Blue should get more carries. You know,
well, Deshaun Watson at the end of the game, I'm like, dude, throw the ball. You're running the clock out. What are you doing?
Yeah, doing them a favor with 17 seconds. He ran the clock out and then threw it to the middle of the field. Yeah, again, they just look disorganized.
Well, that's the bad coaching part.
It's bad coaching. It was all game. All game. And Mike Vrabel somehow stole a win.
Vrabel.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad. It was bad. But Texans and Cowboys, different week one. Texans now 0-2. The only positive for the Texans is of their next four opponents, two are winless like they are, like the Giants, and they haven't played a home game yet. So, you know, you still have that. The last time the Texans started 0-2, they won the division, but they by no means look like a team that could beat Jacksonville right now, that's for sure.
They look like a team that could get slaughtered by Jacksonville
right
now.
Well, you know, look pretty good yesterday, the Colts. You know, when you come through two full weeks now, Colts, who got beat by the Bengals in week one. Bengals are now 2-0, and Bengals have wins in Indy and at home to Baltimore. And Andy Dalton's playing great. But then the Colts turned around and went to Washington and beat the Redskins and looked good doing it. They played some pretty salty defense, kept the Skins out of the end zone. And I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you watched that Skins game and said, you know what, that's why we're glad Alex Smith is in Washington. And we have this kid, Pat Mahomes.
True.
Who's just a rifle thrower, man. That guy, he brings an element to that offense for Andy Reid that's just a whole different level. It is, they've been a good offense, but man, are they dynamic now. Like, how do we get them off the field? You know, they were really good. And now Pittsburgh provided very little resistance on defense, and Mike Tomlin's going to be hearing about it in a very – I heard Tony Dungy on the pregame show for Monday night – or Sunday Night Football last night was like someone who played for the Steelers and understands that culture.
Yes.
They've showed some of the lowlights of just missed tackles and just terrible, terrible defense in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin's going to have to get a hold of that deal.
Why do the Aggies have to bring lube this weekend? What are they doing? They're playing Alabama. What is lube needed for?
You can use
just
your imagination.
Grease their shoulder pads or something?
Oh, maybe they can wipe it all over themselves. So they're going to be slippery.
Roll Tide.
I'm staying out of this one.
It can't be a 26-point. They can't be. I just watched the Aggies play. They were lit. Although they lost, it felt like a win. They were lit at the station against Clemson.
Well, I think you need to make another 500-unit lock again, like you did for a month with Clemson.
I don't know if that's enough points. If you told me the Aggs are getting 30 against Roll Tide, I may have made that 100-unit play. Because, no, I need a 1,000-unit play after the 500-unit play.
You're trying to lose people more money?
Yeah, come on, man.
No.
They're just getting they're just now recovering from the first one.
No, no. You know what I'm feeling good about? Folks, I don't want you to be afraid of this. Just understand, I took a week off. I'm feeling pretty good about that Jayhawk team coming down to Waco looking for their third win.
Why is everybody laughing?
Don't laugh at that. Don't laugh at that pick.
Kansas scored 55 on Saturday.
Rutgers.
And Devontae Graham didn't even play.
Baylor lost to the Dukies. Duke is Duke in basketball. Well,
They didn't even bring a quarterback with them. I don't look. Kansas, David Beatty, I think he's a good football coach. I don't know what his all-time situation will be at Kansas, but I think he can coach football.
Les Miles to the Jayhawks.
Less is more. You know, the hot name in coaching now in the college ranks, if we're flipping from NFL to college, is Seth Luttrell at North Texas, because North Texas is 3-0. And, we've talked about Cliff Kingsbury maybe being on a hot seat at Texas Tech, but they got a big win Saturday.
Yes, they did.
Beat up on Major Applewhite's team.
And they still have the horns 60 plus. Late in the year.
Yes. Well, we'll see where the horns are. Horns are improving at this point, and now 2-1. But it's a long season. But, you know, that kid Seth Luttrell at North Texas, he's going to be in the mix and a name. And Neil Brown at Troy. Neil Brown, Troy beat Nebraska. That's a good-looking program as well. Because the
fun conference, the Sun Fun Conference, yes.
Well, the Big Ten had 7 losses as a conference this weekend to non-Power 5 teams. Or non-ranked teams. They lost 7 games to non-ranked teams. Troy beat Nebraska. BYU, without the boy on a bicycle, beat Wisconsin.
Sure, he wasn't playing.
How about that?
Is he coach
loss?
There now?
That is a gut punch loss for Wisconsin early in the season.
Jeez.
Not good. Northwestern lost to the Zips of Akron.
That's 2 losses to them because they lost to the Dukies. They got crushed by Duke the week before.
Is Coach K doing Duke football now?
No. Don't forget, Rutgers is in the Big Ten. They lost to Kansas.
Well, you know, they've got that scandal going on, the credit card scandal. So, Kansas is back, I'm telling you. You don't think so?
I'm pretty sure that they're playing better because they do have a very veteran team. They've got a lot of seniors on that team that have lost a lot of football games.
They got 5 wins in them this year.
Possibly.
5.
No way.
Come on.
This is their last chance is this Saturday.
This is it for them?
This is their last chance. And Baylor smacked them last year in Lawrence.
The Northwestern really, they lost to the Zips.
Yeah. Well, how about Charlie Strong going in and beating Illinois?
Well, that's not saying very much.
Good. Yes. Yeah. Well, South Florida beat Illinois. That was another one of the non-ranked teams to win. And yes, Maryland, who beat Texas week 1, lost to Temple.
Oh, my goodness.
You know who Temple lost to this year?
Don't even say it.
Speaking of basketball schools, they lost to Villanova out of the FCS.
In football?
In football.
Was Dante DiVincenzo playing for Villanova?
Jalen Brunson threw for 260 and 2 touchdowns.
That loss to Maryland doesn't look good for Texas.
All you can do is control what's in front
of you.
That's
right. Exactly. Don't want to know this week.
That's
Don't
right.
want to know this week.
And it's early line. It's TCU by 3.
Is that how many units is that?
It's too early to talk about that. Let's not talk about that. No. Just getting back. Hey, one game at a time.
1-0.
That's all we're thinking about. Absolutely. And speaking of home games, as a matter of fact, how about an opportunity for you to become the HEB tailgater of the game? Now, Trey Elling, come rain or shine, will be out and about looking for all those HEB products at your tailgate. And if he does pick you or chooses you, you get to be on the Longhorn website and on the Horn website. And also, you get to be on the big jumbo screen, too. Better, you get a $500 gift card to our friends at HEB. Whether it's chips, salsa, sausage, buns, chairs, drinks, gear, HEB has that just for you. Happy birthday to HEB, 80 years in the Austin area. Tailgater of the game.
Longhorns in their last 4 matchups against Gary Patterson and TCU have been outscored 153-33. And
the line is 3.
The line is 3.
Can we just enjoy the USC?
I'm enjoying the week.
Oh, no. Gary Patterson's group, you would think that they'll be banged up.
Well, this group better
be down and out. That group is going to come
banged
in.
Up. I mean, they can build some confidence off of the Ohio State loss.
I think you may be able to.
Because they were toe-to-toe with them, and you know they had a bad 4 or 5 minute stretch that you know all of a sudden 21 points are on the board. But that's not what Ohio State can do to you. But you know Texas has to find the weaknesses that Ohio State exploited. Ohio State hung 40 on them. Ohio State put
The weakness is that offensive line and that quarterback right now. Yeah. That's about it.
That's right. And that's up to Todd Orlando in this front seven. That's the strength of the team, right? The alleged strength of the team is the ability to corral a quarterback like that and give him fits and force turnovers.
Does this kid run with the ball? Is he a runner? Does he take
he's
off?
Okay. He's okay as a runner. I mean, he's got feet, but I mean, it's not JT Daniels, but he's more Kasim Hill running.
Okay.
But, you know, they've got to – I mean, again, I've said this all morning, but the thing watching Texas play, which it was great to see them play faster. It was great to see them play more athletic on Saturday and really just get after people and then, you know, play like they are highly recruited athletes that love playing football. But TCU, their team speed, overall team speed was just ridiculous. I mean, we know they've got some freaks and Jalen Reagor on the outside and Darius Anderson at running back. I mean, they're really good.
They got those freaks wide outs.
I know. Well, they've got some of the fastest players in the Big 12, and this is where Chris Boyd's going to have a great game.
This is where those safeties can't take a bad angle.
Exactly. Cannot. Absolutely. And Brandon Jones, you know, it was great to see Brandon Jones, who missed that interception that led to the second touchdown for USC. He then came back and made the play to stop them on fourth and two from the goal line, which was great. Texas got to play a great game. I mean, we know that. And do they have it in them? That's going to be the question for Tom Herman today at noon. That's the question all week. They have to have built some confidence based on the fourth quarter of Tulsa into this game where they controlled the game pretty much. Even though they got down 14-3, never panic, controlled the game. And really, by the end of the game, USC was saying, Uncle, USC was ready to tap out of that thing and get the heck back to the West Coast. And, you know, that's the kind of game you're going to have to play. TCU's going to come in here. I mean, this is the conference opener for both teams. Then you know how important that is. It's a huge game.
Yeah, because when you look at it and you look at if you look at TCU the way they played and you look at Oklahoma the way they played against Iowa State, those teams are kind of evenly matched. This kind of Big 12 is up right now, and those are two top teams, I believe.
No, it's still
looking
wide
for a championship.
And Oklahoma is the highest ranked team and still look like the team to beat with Kyler Murray.
Yep.
But, you know, Iowa State gave them a great game and showed, you know, you can expose them in that defense a little bit. But Kyler Murray looks explosive.
And TCU can scheme them too.
Oh yeah,
that's a good battle between Lincoln Riley.
If you're rooting against Oklahoma, which a lot of people here are, I mean they go to Fort Worth and they go to Morgantown. Those look like the second and third best teams in the conference, and those are both road games for Oklahoma. So
and obviously West Virginia's game was canceled; so they didn't get to play this week, so we didn't get to see them. But you know, look, Texas will be able this week when Tom Herman talks about going 1-0 each week. They get to announce whether they're a contender in the Big 12 or not this weekend. I mean, if they're going to be in this mix and we're going to talk about them like TCU and Oklahoma State.
Correct.
You win this game.
And see, I've even taken Oklahoma State for some odd reason and said, no, they're not in the thick of this. And, boy, that was a good win for them.
Yeah, they dominated Boise State.
They really did.
And a lot of people were picking the Broncos for sure there. This is the last time, remember, I was born and grew up in the mean streets of Akron, Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
Zips beat Northwestern. As this texter accurately points out, the last time Akron beat a Big Ten team, Grover Cleveland was the president.
Cleveland!
Wow. 1894. And the Big Ten didn't even exist the last time Akron beat a Big Ten team.
It's the last time Kansas won three games in a row.
And won Mark two Mancino. In like 6 years.
Mark Mangino was probably the coach, I'm assuming, right?
Yep. An Orange Bowl that they won.
It was an Orange Bowl, yeah.
Let me see.
Todd Riesling was the quarterback.
He just got put in the Jayhawk Ring of Honor over the weekend.
What is this, the Jayhawk Radio Network this morning?
You're the one that keeps bringing it up.
You.
That's my 500 unit. Oh, no, it's not. No, I've got a unit play, but I'm going to hold on to it, and I'm going to wait all the way till the end of the week. How about those Boston College Eagles right now?
Yeah, they're undefeated.
You know what that's called? Fool's gold right there.
Hey, they scored 40-plus each of their games. Fool's they got some offense gold. To go with their deep. You know who was good yesterday, speaking of Boston College, on the NFL side? Harold Landry. The kid they got in the
start,
second.
Isn't he?
You know, this is the one that Honor Landry.
Honor Landry. That's him.
Well, Harold is his name, and he gave the Texans fits yesterday off the edge. I mean,
he's good. He was a good player.
That was a steal in the second round to have him. Coming off that corner. All right, so we'll take your thoughts on the good, bad, and ugly from the busy sports weekend. The NFL, the Cowboys looking great last night. I really did think they looked – oh, I shouldn't say great. They just looked – that's what they want to be. They want to be a physically dominant team on defense, control the ball. You know, that drive that really put the game away when they went up 20-3, That was that 14-play, 8-minute drive where they just wore the Giants down. That's the team the Cowboys would like to be, and I think we saw the team that Tom Herman would like the Longhorns to be on Saturday night, playing really good defense, hitting big plays, and wearing a team out as well.
Yeah, and Dak Prescott running with the ball was good stuff last night for them.
Well, and Sam the other way. I mean, Texas and the Cowboys are kind of built philosophically the same. And their quarterbacks are similar, and then people question their accuracy and can they consistently push the ball. And we saw both playing at what their coaches would want them to be on Saturday night and then Sunday night. We'll come back. B&E on 104.9, 101.9 FM, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you. Good in the middle of break conversations with Craig Way. Craig Way will be up at the top of the hour. The birthday boy celebrated a birthday yesterday. You may tell the story, but I'll preview it for you. He was up at the Cowboys game last night. I did not know this until Craig just told us, but they renamed the radio booth at the Cowboys press box the Brad Sham radio booth. And, of course, Craig worked with Brad, so he was invited back for that announcement. And so pretty cool. Craig will have a lot of stories to tell. Longhorns get the win Saturday night. And, of course, all the high school outcomes from the weekend. We wondered if Bowie Lake Travis would be a close game. It was not.
No, it was not. Higgins didn't play. You know, he's got that wrist injury. And right now, Lake Travis and Coach Carter, where he had some stuff hidden for district play, as they say, you know, the first two games. You know, we just kind of looked at them, and they were. I was wondering if they were going to be good enough on special teams. And when I say good enough with Lake Travis, I mean good enough to win state championship. I don't even mean good enough to make it to the playoffs, because they'll make it to the playoffs easily. But are they going to be good enough, that kind of team again? And boy, he brought out a bag of tricks that were just ridiculous. And that 42-7 at halftime, and it could have been 70-7 at the end of the game. But he called off the dogs. Speaking of who let the dogs out.
Yeah. Hudson Card, the Texas commitment at quarterback, combined for 381 yards, threw a bunch of those to Garrett Wilson, so that was an easy victory.
He's such a good athlete.
Oh, man. How's Hudson? Is he a good player?
He's a good player. Hudson's a good player. And I know people, the deal out for me is I still got to see him. He's still got another year to mature as a quarterback, and I've got to watch him play that position just a little bit more. But when you got guys like Garrett Wilson to throw to, those guys, you know, you're talking about timing. Those two are on time. And then by the time next year comes around, he'll be that quarterback that Tom Herman's kind of looking for. But I know what a great athlete he is. I just think he's just such a wonderful wide-out slot receiver. I saw him play that position. And he's got those unbelievable hands and the great moves after the catch and everything else. So, but they chose him to be a quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see how he matures as a quarterback. That's all I can say.
Craig will have the full rundown, including his weekly visit with Greg Tepper of Dave Campbell's Texas Football Magazine. So for your high school football fans and passionate fans, that'll be coming up at the top of the hour. We've also got the Longhorns with the big win, the record-setting crowd, 103,508 on hand. And I talked to someone and heard from so many folks through social media and just in conversation that have been to a lot of games but don't remember a game like that, that it was just enjoyable, the fun. I mean, obviously the win was great. I mean, the fact that Texas dominated from the second quarter on and won going away. But the experience before the game, the activations, everything that's been happening, all that we've been doing and they've been doing at UT, it's been so well received. The students in one section, which was great. All the celebrities and star power were back. They honored Vince Young for going into the Rose Bowl Hall of Fame, which was pretty cool on the field. I thought they did a good job. I thought the game presentation, they have toned down on the advertisements on the big screen and all those things. I mean, it was a positive step forward.
It's just a return of, I think maybe twice a year, Jetpack Man should just return, though.
They did do the flyover.
If Jetpack Man would come down Bebo Boulevard, just like, you know what I'm saying? If he zipped down Bebo Boulevard, that'd be kind of cool. Are there wires around there, though?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you probably get caught in the wires. That wouldn't be a good thing.
They did have. Were you in your seat in the upper deck, BK, before the flyover from the F jet it was?
Oh, man.
That was loud, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't it feel like you could reach out and grab that thing?
That was crazy.
He couldn't hear it, though. He could not hear it.
It was so loud.
BK was, his boys were in town.
Yeah.
I was juiced up like the Texas football yes. team. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know. You know, we were in the Bud Light suite, me and your son and I. We had a good time. AJ was sitting right in the corner front. He took my seat. That's where I usually sit. But
don't let that group get in there. They'll start trying to take over.
Who, AJ?
He was with his
his buddy, yeah.
His businessman, yeah.
You know, they did a good business job. They were the quietest of the group, I think. They were just kind of sitting and chilling.
Oh, they watch.
Intently. That's what I do. That's why I sit in the corner front. I need to intently watch.
No, you socially, you're not watching any dadgum games.
No, are you kidding me?
Watching the other games that are on TV. You were watching.
That's why I admitted to that last week, that normally I intently watch the Longhorns, personnel, who's in, who's doing what. But then last week when Clemson was playing A&M, they put that on in there. And the third quarter of the Tulsa game, I missed a lot of it because I was focusing on that.
Well, it was 21-0. But it got close.
Which one?
The Tulsa game. You thought that game was in hand.
I did.
Well, you can't do that.
I thought they were going to blow it out.
It's never over until it's over.
But the Clemson A&M game was much more entertaining a week ago. But this one was good. Texas took control, and that block kick was really the game breaker. And I just felt like the Longhorns played the game outside of the targeting call, which I thought B.J. Foster just laid a big
No, dude,
big
that was targeting.
Guy. You think so?
Yeah. Yes. That was targeting. It was right to the face. It was
with his shoulder,
It doesn't matter. People have got it. You can't hit a guy below that whole deal. That's why everybody keeps saying, they keep saying the crown of the helmet. If you hit a guy in the head with your shoulder now and he goes down, if you hit him in the head, not in the chest, not on the side, if your shoulder goes into his head, they're going to call targeting. I hate that rule.
But if you're coming across.
Yes.
And he's coming in and you are ready to lower your shoulder and hit him in the chest and he lowers his head.
And you hit him in the head?
Yeah.
Guess what they're going to call?
Well, then
targeting.
How do you avoid that? If he lowers his head into you.
I can't tell you how to avoid any of this stuff that I'm watching in football right now. I don't know how you can grab a quarterback by the waist.
That's what I'm saying, though.
And
I understand.
Spin him around on the ground.
You're arguing the letter of the law, which I get.
Well,
I'm just saying it's impossible to play football if that's going to be the case.
But it doesn't mean it wasn't it was a targeting.
By the letter of the rule, yes, it was. But it looked like a big hit that that's what you want to teach, I think, and he loses his shoulder. The receiver lowered his head into the player.
I'm not explaining it, but they're going to call a penalty if you do that.
I know, but now it's going to cost B.J. Foster the first half of the TCU game, which could be a significant blow to Texas. It's just, again, they're calling things in the NFL that you just can't even imagine. I mean, you just can't. It's all for player safety. I get it, but, that's.
Dude, by the way, those dudes still get hit
hard
in
the NFL. The over-legislation of the game is going to choke the game out.
I don't care how they hit them. On regular hits, those guys get just about blastered.
Jalen Smith last night on Eli Manning.
Right. No, we talked about that earlier. That was a great
hit. That dude almost went Vontae Davis and thought about retiring after that one.
Jalen
hit
him.
That's what I'm saying. It just the regular hits in football are brutal. They're so big and so fast.
Well, you know what? We know what's surprising about the Jalen Smith hit. Eli didn't lower his head. If he had done what Amon-Ra St. Brown did, Jalen would have got targeting. But for whatever reason, Eli didn't slide, and he didn't even curl up at all. So the hit was just chest, shoulder pad to chest, and he drilled Eli Manning.
And I don't even know how low you can go. The one with Cam Newton on Sunday,
ooh,
I mean, those guys were both on the ground sliding at the same time almost. You know what I mean? They were both sliding.
Right. And
Panthers, they went face to face.
Right. And it was almost like Cam Newton's, his slide took the feet of the player, which drove him down into his helmet. I mean, it was just, again, that's the natural physics of human kinesiology. There's no way to not have that happen.
You're going to have to go to rugby. You're going to have to get rugby guys to come to your practices and teach you how they do it, because they don't put their face in it because they can. They wouldn't, or they'd be all smashed up. How do rugby guys do it? But by the way, I love when people say that, like I'm saying it. Rugby players aren't going as fast as those dudes are going.
Well, some of them do.
Not as fast as the NFL guys.
Well, I mean, the helmet does add a layer of protection that allows you to be more reckless. But
yes, yes,
than
it does.
A rugby player could. This says E. Foster's helmet hit before the shoulder did. I agree. I mean, look, again, that's physics, because of the helmet. But he did lead with his shoulder. He didn't lead with his helmet. He didn't target and project himself like a missile into the
receiver. Oh, he targeted him. He tried to target him and take him smooth out.
Well, B.J. Foster's always been a hard hitter. I mean, that comes back to his days at Angleton. But it was not a malicious targeting play. Probably B.J. Foster was a hard hit. That when Amon-Ra St. Brown curled up, lowered his head, the head became contacted. But if the target that B.J. Foster was aiming for stayed where it was when he began his tackle, he would have hit him right in the chest.
That's going to be football because no targets are staying the same. Everybody, all this movement and stuff, it's just you're not going to get very many of those where the officials aren't going to call target.
I understand that. But, again, the spirit of the law is you want to take those out. But at the same point, you got to let – at the same point, I think you have to let them play football.
Well, you can't let that one play. That's
– Okay.
That's too close. I mean, that's – anything that looks – like when the crowd goes, oh, that's going to be a call.
So we're not legislating head-to-head hits. You're legislating hard hits.
Yes, for sure.
Well, then that's not good.
You are legislating hard hits. You're absolutely right.
That's the point, NFL stuff
with the quarterbacks is not hard hit. Those are guys with skirts on right now.
Yes. And so that's why I'm saying the big picture, it gets worse and worse. And the over-legislation of the game and the rules of the game will choke out the game eventually. It just will.
I don't know how bad it's going to choke it out. I just know it's not interesting. I know it gets boring when guys are making plays.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It's a boring rule right now. It is.
And that's the over-legislation of it, right? You put so many rules in place that the officials are throwing their flags on every single play. That creates a drag on the game, and it makes it a worse game.
Takes too long.
Yeah. All right, and it says, can the offensive player get targeted? See, that's the other thing. The offensive players all the time lower their helmet and plow into a guy.
Well, running backs drop their head all the time.
Yeah, and that never gets called.
No.
We see that quite a bit, and that seems like just as violent an act and just as violent a play.
By the way, guys, I can't tell when receivers are dipping their head on the defensive back who's the targeted guy anyway.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times.
No question. Well, that's what I'm saying, because when the offensive player lowers his head, which is just the natural, I'm curling up to brace myself, that's when the target changes from where it was to, okay, now there's helmet to helmet or head and neck contact. That's impossible to avoid unless you're just going to start taking guys' knees out. You're just going to start going low, clipping a guy, and if you blow his knee out, then you blow his knee
out. What's better, BK, to take that knee out and have to have a new knee or take that head out and be kind of gone, years from now, which is the one you go for?
I like just pushing these buttons back here, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not getting hit anywhere
back
here. Well,
you know this is player to player, right? The brotherhood is always, look, just don't take my knees. That's my livelihood. Don't take my knees. If you got to blow me up, but do not take my knees out.
Yeah, I'll deal with the other stuff 20 years from now.
Right?
Yeah,
and
that's true.
That's what's changing, and now it's almost like, hey, man, I hate doing it. I don't want to go low, but I'm going to have to. All right, it's B&E with you on this busy, busy Monday morning, good, bad, and ugly. Bucky, how did the Cover Pro guys do this
weekend? Well, we're going to find out probably tomorrow or so, but if you're serious about the NFL, you got to check this out. This Austin-based group of pros give you an unfair advantage. They'll do that tonight on Monday Night Football for sure, but they'll do it Thursday and Sundays also. TheCoverProGroup.com, they're incredible. They are something very, very special. Last week, 11-4-1 from those guys. Their subscription to TheCoverPro.com provides access to various analytic and forecasts for the real games that only you care about. Don't fear the NFL odds any longer. TheCoverPro.com guys are fantastic. First 6 weeks, absolutely free. No risk whatsoever. So there's a risk of winning. How about this? Go to Bucky2018 for 25% off subscription plans. That's TheCoverPro.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Nationally, one of the names you're going to hear a lot today is Urban Meyer, because he did a sit-down interview with Tom Rinaldi, and it's...
And he's back.
He's being picked apart. Yeah, he's back, and he's released another statement upon his return to full coaching coverage of the Ohio State Buckeyes. So that'll be a big conversation today. We've been through it over and over again.
Yeah, where he said he made a mistake. He should have fired that kid.
Yeah.
And he should have never been at Ohio State with him. He said, I made a mistake there, which he could have very easily said the first time. But
yes.
And I wonder what Zach Smith is thinking. He was like, Urban's got my back. Urban's got my mind. No, he was right. He should have fired you before.
And that's been my thing with Urban Meyer this whole time. I mean, people can have their opinions of Urban Meyer, but, he does have an argument in that, there's never been an arrest made. I'm not firing people based on allegations. And all he ever told me was his wife's, they've got a toxic relationship and they're working on it, stuff like that. But he's just handled it so poorly all the way through. Like his own, whenever he gets on a camera, he's done a bad job. And that leads to,
anything that happened in Columbus, Urban Meyer knew about. I don't care if the police didn't do anything or whatever. Somebody's coming to Urban Meyer and say, you got Well, a wild one on the loose. I mean, like, really wild.
Well,
one.
You say that, but Zach Smith says that's not true. And the investigation, the 23-page investigation, indicates there were several things that happened that he never knew about. I mean, the own investigation. So to his argument, well, yeah, there were things happening, you know, and you would think he does, but he says he didn't, and the investigation says he didn't. And that goes to his argument. Now, did he handle it right? Absolutely not. I'm just talking about since July when this began for Urban Meyer, every public statement, every time he's appeared, he's just done a really, he's just come off terrible. And that's led to a lot of this gasoline on the controversy. And, you know, at this point, his team's 3-0. They survived TCU in a game that was, gosh, it was there for the Horned Frogs, up 21-13 and had a chance in that game. And the Buckeyes scored, you know, three touchdowns in a four-minute span of the third quarter to change the tide with the, you know, just almost like TCU melted down a little bit in that spot, too.
Yeah, it wasn't forthright, disingenuous, the whole works. So you get to sit back a couple weeks. Now you can come back and say and make it, you can sit back, but at the heat of the moment, when you have to tell the truth and when you should tell the truth, Urban Meyer came off lousy.
Right, no doubt. And that's why I'm saying, don't they have people, don't they have crisis management people in at Ohio State? I mean, this, hey, look, this is a big deal. Here's how we're going to handle this, right? Let's unite on this and let's get your story where it needs to be.
Yeah, let's get your story straight and correct. Let's get it straight. Right. We're in fast time.
Yeah,
right,
real
now.
Time.
Let's, yes.
Let's agree what the story is. And again, the investigation confirmed his story. He just, in real time, said it wrong a couple times and was lied about it at Big Ten Media Days. And he came off the night of his suspension was announced, and you could tell he was angry and had no contrition in his mind at all. Because, again, if you read the whole investigation, there's a lot in there that backs up what Urban Meyer has said. And that's why he was sitting there saying, well, so why am I being suspended? This doesn't make sense. And essentially he was suspended because the president decided we have to do something. And, you know, he should have fired the coach a long, long time sooner. That's obvious at this point. But we'll see. Urban Meyer, that'll be a big conversation today. The second part of his sit-down interview with Tom Rinaldi is apparently out and being parsed through and picked apart.
He needs to go ahead. Like you said, if he goes on Oprah, that'll do it. If he gets on the...
Because Oprah doesn't do a show anymore.
She can get on that channel.
Well,
she's
got a network now. She'd have to go like on Ellen or something.
I'm not going to leave him if he's talking with Ellen. Why might as well go on the Steve Harvey show or something. No.
Ooh, I have to apologize.
No.
I'd like to
to apologize.
If Steve Harvey...
I'm just sorry we're in this situation.
Which one's better between those two?
I don't know. I just think that... You can think what you want about him. I just think at the time when the... You have to be at your best when the bullets are flying and when things are on the line. You have to be able to sound good. You can't wait 2 weeks later and have a sit down and then sound like, oh, here's what I should have done. Well, he knows what he should have done. He's right. He should have done that a long time ago with that kid. When he was a kid, he knew he was a scumbag.
Mm-hmm. And he's admitted his own
right
part of that because it was Earl Bruce and his grandson and someone he respected a lot. And you know, a lot of times we don't see the blind spots and the people that are
closest
to us. We absolutely
don't. When they're close to you, I don't know how many parents must say that my kid wouldn't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Or my son doesn't. My daughter never does anything like that.
Correct.
They would never do that. I don't teach them that way. Yeah.
Well, I mean, hopefully it's a lesson. Tom Herman, Texas, any major program, and you're a corporation. Every major corporation in America has a crisis management team on hand that when something happens.
We got one here.
Well, you better. You better have one.
We do?
No, at this office.
No, who do I go to? I mean, if I have a crisis manager, who do I go to? Do we have one?
In our office, I would probably go to Amanda. No, I'm just kidding.
How about Trey? What about Trey?
No, he is the crisis.
No, can I go to Trey?
Crisis starter.
I've had to brush up on my crisis management based on Trey.
Come on, if I go to him, I think I'll be safe, correct? No? Probably not? No,
he is the crisis.
Okay.
That I've had to manage.
It's all those comedians. They'll get you in trouble every time.
Trey, you ready? BK, you ready for Trey today? You guys have a good time?
Yeah, gotta hand it to Trey, man. He's usually wrong. He's got the moniker of Terrible Take Trey, but...
Oh, you called this one.
Called the blowout.
He called a Texas beatdown. He was right.
Yeah, Texas put their best four quarters together and beat down a USC team that is not very good, but got good players, and Texas played four quarters.
I got a feeling he's going to say, don't fall for the tomfoolery of this week.
Hey, we'll see.
Today.
We'll get his take and Rod Babers after that. Trey and BK coming up. Craig Wade next with the Horn High School Spotlight. Chad and Kevin. Tom Herman with the live news conference at noon today. We'll hear the highlights tomorrow. Also, Monday Night Football tonight. Bears,
yeah.
Seahawks. And get out and see the our partnership with the NFL alumni. Rod Babers will be sitting with Corey Redding tonight for our happy hour at the Brass Tap in the Domain. That's 5:30 to 7:30 tonight. Go see those guys. Meet Corey, meet Rod, hang out, and then the Monday Night Football game there. Seahawks, Bears. You'll hear it right here on the Horn. Have a great Monday.